And now the game where we ask people to answer questions about something they know nothing about. The game's called Not My Job. After serving with President Bush back when he was governor of Texas and then as assistant press secretary in the White House, Scott McClellan served as the White House press secretary from 2003 to 2006. His new book is called, quite simply, What Happened? Scott McClellan, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Peter, it's good to join everybody.
We're very happy to have you. I have to say, you know, because when you were in the White House, we kind of made fun of you from time to time. And
no.
We did. And I always like having people who we've talked about come on the show, you know, show no hard feelings. No hard feelings, right?
Absolutely not. You got to have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Was that true of everybody in the White House? Did people in the White House not necessarily listen to our show, but maybe the other shows that make fun of
I don't know about the vice president.
No, I guess not.
Most everybody.
We used to, around our office, we used to obsessively watch your press conferences. And the thing that you, when you were White House press secretary, and the thing that always amazed us was that no matter what the reporters threw at you, that how hostile the questioning got, and sometimes it did get hostile, you would never lose your cool, you would never get mad, you would never get upset. It was really impressive. And then we've read your book, and even though you report on some things that were, well, upsetting in terms of how you were misled in certain areas, you still don't seem to be that upset about it.
I think that's what happens when you're the youngest of four and you got three older brothers. You learn just to take it and move on and not worry about it too much. But anytime I think you saw me smile, you knew I was thinking, what a stupid question. I just couldn't say it out loud.
Really? So that smile when you were seeming so pleasant and patient was really that?
Exactly.
Are you smiling now? So here's the question. What does get you mad?
Boy, it's hard to think about that. When the University of Texas loses a football game, I get pretty upset, but that's about it.
Really? Gosh, nothing else? Not the whole Iraq war propaganda thing? That's okay, but... Scooter Libby lying to you? No problem, but when the Longhorns go down...
That's right.
Well, you have talked about a lot of those things in your prior interviews. We wanted to get at some other things that we have discussed about the White House. Just get the inside story from someone who was there and apparently has already burnt his bridges, so you might as well tell the truth. You may remember the incident in which President Bush supposedly choked on a pretzel and passed out.
Yes.
What really happened, Scott?
We don't know. No one was actually there.
And, really?
And, it was just himself and in the White House residence.
And so he came out of the residence. He had some sort of black eye or injury.
That's right. I think he fell and hit himself on the table after he choked on the pretzel and passed out.
And you're telling me that no one was in the room with him. He said, I choked on a pretzel and I fell over.
That's the story.
And you all said, yes, Mr. President.
I don't think you can make that one up.
He couldn't make that up, maybe, but... But... Do you... All right, but as far as you know, that's what happened. You have no evidence, nothing...
That's correct.
All right. Another story that we talked a lot about on the show was the Angela Merkel back rub incident. Do you remember this one?
Yes. I'd left the White House by that point, but I remember that very well, watching it on TV.
All right. What was going on between the president and Ms. Merkel?
Boy, that was an awkward moment, to say the least. It's one of the ways the president was just trying to show his friendship with her, I think.
You think?
Did he ever do it to you?
A deep tissue shiatsu.
Yeah.
I mean,
was that a typical thing for the president? Is that a typical thing for the president to do? Did he ever do it to you, come around behind you, give you a little rub?
No.
Well, you're not his type.
Something like that. But her reaction told it all. I thought during that moment when she got the back rub.
Her look of abject horror. You mean?
Yeah.
Did he have a nickname for you?
My nickname was just Scotty. That's all. That's all that he had for me. Nothing fancy.
Do you think you have a nickname now?
I don't think I can say it over the airwaves.
Yeah, I guess not. Another incident. Do you remember when he tried out the Segway? I think it was up in Kennebunkport, was it? Was it Crawford?
Mm.
And you remember he fell off?
The only person that has ever fallen off a Segway.
Right. When that happened, because we saw pictures of it, him toppling forward. Texas boots over tea kettle. What was your job? Was it? I mean, what? I just assume that everything in the White House is so important and official. Whatever the president does, did your BlackBerry go off and it was like, Scott, we have a situation. The president has fallen off a Segway. We need to make a statement.
Well, we had a lot of fun watching it later on TV ourselves, and I think he had a little fun about it too.
Really? Did you all sit around and like watch it over and over again?
Shaking our heads and getting a good laugh out of it.
Dude, watch! I'm going to set this to music now.
And we have to ask you about this, and this is, of course, the famous statement that President Bush made as you left the White House on that day back in 06. He said, you know, someday Scott and I will be sitting back on the porch in Texas in our rocking chairs and talking about the good old days. So is that date still in your calendar?
I think we'll be sitting on different porches in different places.
Was there anything that was so awful you couldn't put it in the book? For example, did you ever see Dick Cheney in the sauna, for example?
Not quite like that. There are a few moments that I didn't put in the book that maybe came close.
Save that for the sequel?
Yes, book two.
Okay.
All the best of what was left out of what happened.
Well, Scott McClellan, it is a pleasure to finally talk to you in person as opposed to simply talking about you. And we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're a diminutive gay alcoholic genius and gossip addict.
Since your job in the Bush White House was mostly keeping your mouth shut, we thought we'd ask you three questions about somebody who couldn't stay quiet if his life depended on it. That would be writer Truman Capote, a lifelong gossip and dealer in high society dish.
Scott, just one thing, okay? These are the real questions. You can't come back in 3 years and give us the real answer.
All right. Answer two out of three questions about Truman Capote, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Scott McClellan playing for?
Scott is playing for Andy Finley of Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Here, sir, is your first question about Truman Capote. He loved gossip. One could say it was his true profession. He came up with actual gossip competitions, such as which of these? A version of the basketball game Horse, if player one described, say, an intimate detail of a celebrity's anatomy, player two had to do the same thing or lose a point. Was it B? He liked to take two disparate people and then try to connect them by shared sexual partners. Or C, everybody in the room takes a drink and holds it, and then the player tries to come up with something so shocking but true that the other players spit their drinks out.
You know, the one that sounds most interesting to me is the one I think I'll go with. They always say go with your first instincts, right? I'll go with B.
You're going to go with B, the sexual linkage between two disparate people. That's your choice?
That's my choice.
You're right, sir. Very well done. He called the game IDC for International Daisy Chain, and he claimed to have once connected Cab Calloway, the band leader, to Adolf Hitler via a mere three bedmates. That's impressive. Don't know how he did that. All right, next question. Truman Capote was known for his insults. Famously, he once said of Jack Kerouac's book, On the Road, quote, "That's not writing, that's typing." How did he once describe the writer Lillian Hellman? Did he say, A, quote, "like George Washington in drag"? B, quote, "like a dog in every way, except the good ones"? Or C, quote, "somebody who wouldn't spill her cheap wine on you if you were on fire"? And I'm sparing you my Truman Capote impersonation. I just want you to know.
Let's go with A.
You're going to go with A, George Washington in drag. For a circumspect guy, you're pretty good at this stuff. Yes, that
means
you did. That's what he said. All right, let's see if you can do this perfectly, because I will be impressed if you can. Sometimes Truman Capote made people upset. For example, when Saul Bellow won the Nobel Prize for Literature, Capote said he didn't think Bellow deserved it. How did Saul Bellow, Nobel laureate, reply? Did he say, A, quote, "maybe Truman could win a little something for himself if he ever actually wrote something"? B, quote, "I can't see what Truman deserves at all except a kick in the ass"? Or C, Truman Capote? Is he still alive?
Let's go. That's a tough one, those three. I will go with B.
B. You're going to go with B. I can't see what Truman deserves at all except a kick in the ass?
Yeah, I'll go with B.
You're right.
Wow.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'll point out to you. Hold on. First of all, let me get the official score. Carl, how did Scott McClellan do in our quiz?
Scott was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so he wins for Andy Finley. Congratulations, Scott.
Very well done.
Thank you.
This is fascinating. You are our third Bush White House press spokesman to be on our show. We've also had Dana Perino and Tony Snow, two of the people who followed you.
Right.
And they each only got one right. And I'll point out that they, at the time, were both still in the employ of the White House. So it does seem to be that once you leave the White House, suddenly you can see the truth. I don't know how that works.
Maybe I needed multiple choice from the podium some days.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm genuinely concerned, maybe because I've seen you be crucified by your former colleagues. But what's next for you, Scott McClellan? What are you going to do now?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about that, whether it's something in the academic world or think tank world or something,
or
something
World.
Still in politics. yes, go to Disney World,
right.
Exactly. In July, I think I'll take a little time off and get away from all this. But I want to continue working on what I talked about in the book, and I'm exploring some opportunities now.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll look for you wherever you show up. Scott McClellan, we're so glad to have you. Former White House press spokesman Scott McClellan has a book out. It is called What Happened Inside the Bush White House and Washington's Culture of Deception. It's available everywhere. Scott McClellan, thank you so much for being with us today. What a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Peter. I enjoyed it.